So let's ride. Let's ride. Oh, let's ride. Ride with the Radfords. Oh, let's ride. Let's ride. Let's ride. Ride with the Radfords.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Riding with the Radfords, the podcast for covenant couples and those who want to be. I am one of your hosts, Pastor Jay.
And I'm First Lady Al.
What's up, babe?
Hey there.
Hey, you know who we got in the house?
No, who?
We got some good friends in the house. We got some good people in the house. Once again, this is the only people we had twice. This is the second couple. This is the only couple who had a second interview here. It is the one, the only. The Henrys. How y'all doing?
What's up, party people?
We're great.
Yeah. Well, Denise Henry and Avery Henry.
Yeah, yeah.
Our people, we are at the time of this recording, it is Thanksgiving 2024.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And the Henrys have come with their family and our own special guests. You may hear him maybe once in the background. We call him T-Man. Charles Elliott, he came with us. These are our high school.
No, college.
College, excuse yes, me. Our college. Mm-hmm. Our college friends and family. And we included Denise by proxy. She did not go to the Southern Arkansas University, but, you know, she's a part of the family.
Yeah, that's right.
So
we
accepted her credits. She's transferred.
Except.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what
she
we
She transferred
it. Yeah.
She's a transfer student. That's what happens.
No, I was not a transfer student, but however you want to put it.
I'm just using the same terminology.
Transfer family member.
I like that much better.
Transfer family member.
Transfer family member. I was trying to keep the metaphors together.
I understand.
Okay, so here we go. We're here in this capacity, and it's just it's an interview. The Henrys have been married for 25 years.
Yeah.
25.
When's your wedding anniversary?
June 12th.
So they've been married 25 years, and I just got a couple of questions I want to ask them as they look over those 25 years. Just give us your they don't know the questions. They've not been prepped with the questions, so these
don't be scared
right off the dome.
Yes, sir.
So and Denise was quickly to point out I have 12 here, but I'm only going to ask half of those. She just didn't know.
No one happened. Would have known that,
right?
You had
didn't even have to
I
tell
just
it.
Wanted to say it just so. Yeah, so the first question I want to ask you guys is, what has been the most unexpected challenge you faced in your marriage, and how did you overcome it?
That's a good question.
Unexpected. He came hard hitting at
yes,
the top.
Yes, he did. He didn't start easy.
Nothing
calm.
Light.
I'll read it again. What has been the most unexpected challenge you faced in your marriage, and how did it? And how did you overcome it? Here's what I do. I'll give you two passes.
No, I'm gonna tackle it. I'm gonna tackle it. So, I think a couple things came to mind. The first thing, just if I'm being honest, were children.
Mm-hmm.
I think children as not even that as of late, but you know, just kind of the entire journey, but especially when you get to those teenage years, that's probably been one of the biggest challenges in trying to maneuver through the ups and the downs, and just kind of having some conversations, you know, as we had some conversations today with them and then before they came into the room, but just kind of talking about all that comes with them in this season of their lives, and talking about Gen Z and Gen X and all of those things. There are some challenges that come with that. Some of those things, very frustrating. To the point where you feel inept as parents and wanting to blame yourself and saying, man, what did I do wrong? You know, but it's not even that. But it's, you know, a situation where I think every parent wants to provide something that they didn't have, and not in an elaborate way, but just in simple ways. Just because the times are different finances are different. And so that's something that we are actually just kind of still trying to figure out.
Yeah, navigate that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and, you know, that's kind of been the real thing. And then the other thing that came to mind was, you know, we had an issue, I don't even know how many years ago, nothing that was, you know, purposeful, but had a situation with finances where we had more month than money. And
Know what that's like.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So me as a husband, you know, you write checks, or but then there's a shortage. And so I know I don't want to be that guy, but sometimes some of us worry more than others.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to protect and keep the statements when they came where two things had been overdrafted. And, you know, you'd be 2 days from payday. And this thing pops up, and you're like, oh, man. So I don't want my wife to worry, so I just, you know, get to the mailbox, take it, stick it somewhere so it's not something that creates concern and worry for her. Not because I'm hiding something or I want something to not be caught. It was just a situation where I just didn't want her to worry. I knew eventually it was going to work out or pan out, but, you know, we just had some challenging areas and times with that. And then just kind of rallying back and trying to win the trust because you lose trust.
Those are good examples.
In that situation where she lost trust in me in the relationship and then having to build that back. And the way we did that, or the way I did that, was just to over-communicate. So when those things happen, hey, babe, you know, this is what happened. This is what's going on. This is where we are.
It's very good.
It's going to be okay, but this is where we are right now. And so, but in that process, created some hurt, you know, for my wife, and I'll let her speak on that and just kind of working through it, you know, even with the kids stuff. So,
those are good examples.
I hadn't thought about it when you said challenges. I thought of something just like hard or difficult. Those, I guess, challenges are just changes or things to overcome. So I guess those would be two of the best ones. The children thing, I don't know if we'll ever overcome that because I think because the nature of my profession is with kids all day, and then to come home and try to figure out your own kids, I seem to be able to manage other people's kids because I have them for such a short amount of time, but my own children, it's just hard because it's just hard, and you're trying to help them not encounter some of the same obstacles that you see, but or that you've experienced. But I'm learning that you sometimes just have to let them fall
on
their own, and that's been really hard for me.
That is real.
I think, you know, the way that you framed the question when you said unexpected challenge, I think when it comes to the children piece, you really don't know what to expect. So to me, the things that we've endured, because all we have to go off of is our own childhood experience and how we dealt, or our parents dealt with us, et cetera, or our grandparents, or whoever it may have been. And so this generation of kids, you really don't know what to expect because they're exposed to so much more outside of us than we were exposed to outside of our parents.
Right.
You know, I there was rarely a time that I was not with my folks. I mean, yeah, we went to school and, you know, and things like that. But I'm saying that the things that are going on now with them is just very different. And so sometimes you just really don't know what to expect. So
there's no manual.
Correct. You
know, that comes with them. And they are not all alike. You know,
that is true.
You guys have two kids. We have two kids. And they are drastically different. You know, so some of the issues that we had with one, we may not have with the other. But the challenges, you know, to being a good parent or a bad parent, it's difficult, you know, at times. So those, that, you know, that's a real challenge that is ongoing. Thanks, Bishop.
we try to get to the truth and help some people in this thing. I do appreciate you for sharing, though. That can be challenging. What's one piece? Question number two. What's one piece of marriage advice you received early that has stuck with you? What's one piece of marriage advice that you received early on that has stuck with you?
When I think about it, it's interesting that my mom would have told me this because she didn't have it in her marriage, but to talk about everything with each other and not listen to so many outside forces, but keep the lines of communication open and talk to each other mm-hmm. and not people on the outside.
Mm-hmm. That's good. A good one.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, early on in our marriage, when we first got married, we transitioned from North Carolina to Magnolia, Arkansas. And my wife is a city girl. And I transitioned her into the country to a city that had 5 stoplights.
With no warning.
Top speed, mm-hmm. 45 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And it was an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many days, I say many, there were several days where I would come home from work and work. The school year hadn't started for her, and she'd be balled up on the couch, bawling.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord gave me wisdom enough to know not to come in and try to fix it.
Yeah.
But just to sit down and hold her while she cried.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think that was some of the best time for us
mm-hmm.
in what she was saying, in that we leaned on one another
mm-hmm.
and not our parents, not that we could even get great advice from, you know, those situations because mm-hmm. of our, you know, our parents' history. But, you know, it was a great time for us to lean into one another,
right?
To develop our relationship, to grow, to get our bond tighter. And I think that was the 11 months of struggle that mm-hmm. we had in Magnolia. I think mm-hmm. that was what we needed and what we had to have mm-hmm. that built the character
foundation
of our marriage
mm-hmm.
That has gotten us to 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was the longest 11 months of my life.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Was it just because it was more rural than you had known?
No, it was a lot more than that, because it was the first time I'd ever been that far away from home.
Mm.
And I learned that, this is so weird, but I learned that like milk brands, store brands, food brands were different.
Mm-hmm.
And it was things I had never seen before. One time I was in, I think it was Brookshire's.
Probably.
And I was crying because I was looking at stuff that I had never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, where in the world am I?
Wow. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so it was just culture yeah. shock.
And that would seem like it's such a small thing, but right. it's huge.
I know. Yeah. I mean, like Bluebell ice cream, or like certain things that yeah. we just know from the South or whatever. Yeah. And then you go somewhere else and you can't find it.
Yeah. And that was the first time that she had been away mm-hmm. from home outside of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
In all of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And to live. I mean,
to live. Yeah, and extended. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To live. Like that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know,
it was regionally different. It was
mm-hmm.
scenically different.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, it was so.
I get that.
Different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to peel back just something you said early when you first spoke to this question. You said, even though your mom didn't have it in her relationship, she gave you that piece of advice.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, knowing what you knew about it, how did you take that? Okay, you're like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, mm-hmm. how can you tell me that when you didn't have it? Or
how did you take it like that? How did you take that?
I guess, interestingly enough, my mom did a lot of things to try to give me things that she didn't have. So, I mean, even things like education, because neither one of my parents went to college. So, but I was always around people that went to college. So a lot of things that she didn't experience, she tried to make sure that I experienced. So I guess it was just normal
mm-hmm.
to get things that she didn't have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good.
I that's a lot of ways I approach parenting, doing what I wish would have been done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I find myself doing that with, especially when Jordan, he was the first, doing what I wish had been done, having maybe the patience I wish
yeah.
they had had,
mm-hmm.
you know, with some of the similar things. So yeah, I can see that.
Having conversations like we had today, including them in asking about their generation or how do you feel about dating or this or that. You know, our parents didn't really talk to us about those things. Nope. You know, talking about anxiety, talking about mental health, talking about those things. Just because if they talk to their friends, we don't know.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so I think, you know, those are some of the things that I feel are different for us than it was with growing
and
up.
And that's the crazy thing. You know, when we're doing counseling with couples, we tell them, hey, don't involve people in your life and in your marriage that aren't married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if
don't
take advice from single people
mm-hmm.
or people who are married and have issues
mm-hmm.
Unless they're giving you advice
of what not to do. Right. Yeah.
You know, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And so
it's a
crazy place, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. The questions that I'm asking keeping our audience in mind, things that maybe a young couple would need to know, somebody who's maybe getting back into relationship would need to know, would like to know. Being that you guys, you know, you're 25 years in.
Yes, sir.
How do you navigate disagreements or tough conversations? And what's your approach to conflict resolution?
I'm going to let my wife answer that one.
Why?
Because you have a lot of input. But
we don't really have. I hate to say this because people think that we mm-hmm. are just great, but we don't have a lot of conflict. I guess that I heard it say it once. We have heated fellowship, maybe.
Right.
But
tough conversations.
Mm-hmm. But you said, how do we handle?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you navigate those disagreements or tough conversations?
My guess for me is usually at the wrong time of night when everybody should be asleep because I wear all of my feelings. Mm-hmm. And so in order for me to say the things I need to say or I'm uncomfortable with, it's easy for me to do them at night so that he can't see, he can only hear.
Okay.
So you have to listen and not read my emotions that go with what I'm trying to say.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's important for me because I can come off as aggressive in my everyday life. Mm-hmm. I can come off as the typical African-American female, and that's not what I want people to see when I'm being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so for my marriage, it's important for me to be able to say what I need to say
mm-hmm.
without you prejudging or preassuming the feelings that I'm trying to get across.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of that, you know, will be, you know, we'll go to bed and we used to have regular bed, you know, with springs. And when stuff is on her mind, she's rocking her foot
mm-hmm.
and I can feel it.
Yeah.
And so she may not have said anything yet, but I'll go, what's on your mind? What are you thinking? Mm-hmm. You know, and she may or may not be ready, you know, to kind of have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times that's where it starts. With this mattress we have now, you can't feel it. So I can jump on the bed.
Yeah.
And unless she sees me, she's not going to feel me, you know, or I'm not going to feel her. So, you know, but a lot of times, and that's kind of what we tell couples, is like we have those moments and times we don't plan them.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of happen. And we're lying in bed. It could be 12, 1, 2 in the morning. And then, you know, if we start at 11, 12, it may go to 3. You know, but just having a purging conversation where we're getting feelings out on the table and just kind of having just a discussion around things that have happened that we may not have addressed early on in the day or the week or the month.
Mm-hmm. And I know you always talk about, you know, keeping our audience in mind. And I want people to understand that challenging situations or conflicts don't necessarily have to be something that's heated between the two of us.
Yeah.
The challenge can be dealing with an issue with our kids or, you know, another something that's on the outside of us that is still bothering me or is something that we need to address.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe my perspective on how to deal with it is different than yours.
Exactly.
And we're not upset about it, but we got to come to some resolve.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And so making sure that people understand, you got to have conversations about that stuff too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like your approach. You recognize that the cloak of darkness is going to be the best setup for that, because you recognize the things you know about yourself and how they can potentially affect you know, your spouse. That I think knowing yourself is always good when you're dealing with tough conversations. So because you don't want anything to cloud what you really need to say. I think that's really, really good. Final question. Looking back, what are some of the most pivotal moments in your marriage that helped strengthen your bond? Looking back.
Something that stands out.
Mm-hmm. All of our moves. We've moved a lot. We moved a lot in the beginning of our marriage. So
what caused the moves?
Job change for
ministry.
Ministry
changes, positions, different states.
Yes, okay.
You know, we met in North Carolina.
Moved to Arkansas.
From Arkansas to Atlanta, from Atlanta to
Memphis, Tennessee.
And then from back to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And so within those moves that were mentioned, there were probably about, 13 to 15 transitions that happened, whether from one apartment to a parsonage, from a parsonage to an apartment
to a house.
You know, all of those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So moves
within the
cities.
Moves. Yeah.
So it's been a lot, you know, and, you know, God has been good, you know, to us in all of that transition with ministry and all that comes with ministry. The good and the bad.
Wow.
You know, we kind of had a conversation last night, you know, coming from the airport and just saying, look, folks, I'm not looking for a perfect church. They don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect
churches do not
exist, because if we're there,
it is now alone.
It's no longer.
Yeah.
So
that too has been difficult. Just changes in ministry settings.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in church, then marrying a minister and going to different churches, and just being your whole life is being literally sometimes living in a glass house to the outside world. That has been challenging for me. I can't say for Avery, but
I think that's a whole
other
podcast too. I think there's a lot that we can all relate to, those of us who are in ministry and have had different church experiences.
My God.
Yeah. So
what we learned growing up in church.
That's Charles in the background.
That's
talking.
Charles. I told you it was gonna happen.
He said, especially what we learned growing up in church.
Let him get on. Give him the mic.
Because when we all met, we just realized that there was something more than what we got at the church that we went to, the traditional church. And so we all were seeking more to this God that we knew.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the reason why that we all, I believe, have stuck together, because we have evolved as we know that God does. And so in our lives, and so we can see that happening every day. Avery mentioned something earlier today when he didn't think he was going to be able to go back to school because of financial situations.
Yeah.
And then he didn't know what one other thing to do, but he learned that from his upbringing, and that was to pray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and I was telling people all the time that my mom was the Sunday school superintendent, so she drug us to church. Every time the church door was open, we were there, and I didn't like it then, but I love it now.
Yeah.
Because she taught me the foundation of what I needed. Mm-hmm. And so what Avery needed to do was pray. And as he was praying, one day the coach walked in to the cafeteria. He thought he was just coming to talk about something in general. But he came and offered him a scholarship. And all Avery could do was just start praising the Lord and just started crying, because he knew that the God that he was served and that he prayed to was a big God.
Yeah, and that was the only way it was going to happen.
Hmm.
Yeah. But it was, you know, foundational and pivotal in my walk and and my belief and my trust and my faith in God, you know, to see him in moments like that,
right,
where mom and dad didn't fix it. You know, nobody else fixed it. But as I prayed, God fixed it.
And interestingly enough, those are the things that we bring into our marriage relationship.
Yes.
You know, so that when the lean times come, in your instance where you're talking about, and when the lean times come, I've seen God do it for me in that situation.
Yeah.
And I know that if that we encounter that as a couple,
yeah,
God can do it again for us as well.
Yeah.
So those are all foundational things that do strengthen our relationship with our spouse. I love it.
Appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir.
For sitting down with us after we have consumed many different dishes and delicacies on this Thanksgiving.
Somebody tripped the fan.
For the record, I was not the first one to go to sleep. It was Charles.
It was Charles.
My.
It was Charles.
With that being said,
he's calling the hogs
again. Thank you guys. Thank you, Henry's, for sitting down with us and sharing these candid moments. I'm always encouraged that somebody's going to be blessed by these opportunities in this podcast. For the Riding with the Radfords, I am Pastor Jay.
And I'm First Lady Al.
And we will see you in the next one.
Peace. Ride with the Radfords.